The many triggers for the big GM layoffs offer lessons for the whole U.S. economy. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're continuing to follow the news from General Motors yesterday. The automaker plans to shut down production at 5 plants in North America, cancel production of several models, mainly sedans, that aren't selling well, and announcing its intention of laying off about 14,000 management and union workers. GM is making good money right now, but the company is suggesting it has to get out ahead of future challenges, including an eventual economic slowdown and mounting U.S. tariffs on imported components that feed its production lines. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
You won't find tariffs mentioned in GM's downsizing announcement, but Syracuse economist Mary Lovely says Trump administration trade policies are weighing on the company.
Steel and aluminum tariffs have raised its cost by about $1 billion.
And Lovely says higher prices on imported auto components
make the cost of plants that are producing unpopular models harder to carry.
But there are other reasons for GM to streamline its model lineup and factory footprint. Economist Susan Helper at Case Western Reserve says the company faces a host of questions, starting with the vehicles themselves.
Are they electric? Are they hydrogen? Are they fuel cell? And then who owns them? So is GM's customer people like you and me, or a ride-sharing company, or what?
Helper says restructuring now could help the company remain profitable and relevant as the automotive future becomes more clear. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down minus 0.2% for Dow and S&P futures. Crude oil traded in New York is up but still relatively cheap, under $52 a barrel. A follow-up today on the contamination of romaine lettuce. At least 65 people got sick in the U.S. and Canada, the bacteria E. coli. It can't be washed off, and the stuff has to be thrown out. This essentially shut down the romaine market, but now the U.S. government is asking producers to change the way that romaine is labeled. Marketplace's Erica Barris joins us live. Change how?
The Food and Drug Administration outlined a new voluntary labeling system for romaine lettuce with a harvest date and location. And it urged growers and processors to clearly label packaged lettuce and for retailers to display that information for other lettuce, like unwrapped lettuce heads, saying if you can't find that information, well, don't eat it.
How will these labels help?
Well, it streamlines the process and doesn't shut down an entire market. So when there's a future outbreak, instead of telling us all not to eat any romaine lettuce, they can say, don't eat lettuce from a particular place. In this case, the lettuce that caused the outbreak was probably grown in the Central Coast region of California. And this is the third E. coli outbreak linked to greens this year. And the FDA says it has buy-in from lettuce producers. It's putting together a task force with the, quote, leafy greens industry to figure out how to move forward with the labels.
And this stuff is romaine only. Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you. We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. The vast majority of us don't have much power in the workplace. So what is a person to do when the boss proposes some knuckleheaded idea? Now, I'm not asking for a reason. All the ideas of all my bosses are always gems. But, you know, what if? As we do from time to time, let's ask a manager. Allison Green writes a popular blog where she tackles questions like this from her readers, including our audience. Allison, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So feedback. The boss is offering what you hope is open-hearted, well-intentioned advice, saying, nah, you got to do this a little bit differently. But you think that's not right. Give us a sense of how to pursue that.
The most important thing is to not get defensive, which is sometimes people's first instinct. But it's going to be so much more productive if you listen and you really try to understand your manager's perspective and really show that you're doing that so that your boss can see that you're listening, that you're taking it seriously. That doesn't mean that you need to agree in the end. But if you listen with an open mind, you might actually realize, oh, okay, I can see that point. And once you have heard your manager out, if you do still disagree, it's okay to say something like, you know, I think I understand what you're saying. Can I tell you what my perspective was in case it changes the way that you're looking at it? Or in case there's something that I should correct about the way that I'm looking at it? And that framing, that's not defensive. That's just saying, I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
All right, that's in the feedback relationship. But what if you get an order from the boss that you think is wrongheaded and you want to push back, yet you're not all that empowered? You're a lower level employee.
It depends to a large extent on how much political capital you have built up and on what your relationship with that boss is like. If you have a good track record with that boss and you have some capital, it's often fine to say, you know, I have a different idea about this. Can I tell you what I'm thinking and see what you think? And you're not saying we must do it my way. You're saying, here's another thing I want to throw out there. If the answer is still no, do it this other way, and you feel very strongly, in some cases you can say something like, I feel really strongly that we'll get better results if we do it differently. Would you be willing to let me try it my way and we can see how it goes? But you've got to be somewhat senior and have some capital built up to do that. And it's not an approach that you can use every month. I would save that for times when you do feel very strongly.
And you know what really changes this? If you're asked to do something by the boss that you consider unethical, you can't just go along with it.
Yes, absolutely. In that case, you do need to speak up. And it's perfectly okay to say, here are my concerns about this. If you can propose a different way of doing it that would be more ethical, I would propose that as well. Because sometimes the boss is just suggesting the first thing that comes to mind. But if you're able to say, here's a different way of accomplishing that goal, often they'll be very receptive to that.
Allison Green, a work advice columnist. Her latest book is called Ask a Manager. Allison, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you have a thorny but specific workplace conundrum you'd like to ask a manager, tweet us at Marketplace. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.